The title of my message for this morning is, I'm Too Far Behind. You ever feel like that sometimes? You get too far behind? I mean, we've all got a lot of things we need to do and to catch up on, and yet seems like we get far behind sometimes. Someone once said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind that I'll never die. Never die. Too far behind. Yeah, we get behind from time to time in what needs to be done in life. There's things that need to be accomplished. And sometimes it seems like for every step forward we take two steps backward. That's the way life is, isn't it? But then what about our spiritual life? What about our walk with the Lord this morning? You know, that hymn that Frank led us in, Come Thou Fount of Blessing, that old hymn was written by Robert Robinson when he was just 23 years old. And the third verse contains a phrase, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You know, unfortunately, this phrase was prophetic for Robinson in his later life because he lapsed back into sin. And while riding a stagecoach, Robinson heard a woman humming his hymn. And she later engaged him in conversation, and she asked what he thought of the hymn. And overcome with emotion, he said, Madam, I'm the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds, if I had them, to enjoy the feelings I had then. You know, since we are all prone to wander, we need to hold each other up. We need to hold each other up from the clutches of sin that's ready to grab hold. The unhappiness, the backsliding. Let's go ahead and read Luke 22. Luke 22. Jesus is speaking here to Simon Peter, and he's warning him about Satan coming to sift him, to get him. So follow along with me as I start in verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31, reading through verse 34, and then we'll read verses 54 through 62. So follow with me, verse 31 of Luke 22. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me 3 times that you know me. Now look on down to verse 54. Then they seized him, talking about Jesus. They seized Jesus, led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And then a servant girl, seeing him as in the light and looking closely at him, said, This man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are the one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you're great and mighty. You are God of all creation. You created us. And we recognize you today, a great shepherd who leads us, Lord, to where we need to go. Why? Because we're like sheep. We go astray. We're prone to wander. We're prone to get priorities mixed up, and we're prone to leave the one we love. We get too far behind. Father, we're here today to hear you, to worship you, but yet to hear a word from the Lord that will strengthen our spirit, that will move us to you closer. So, Father, draw us to thee now in this hour. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What a contrast we see here in the life of Peter. One moment he's standing and facing the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then a few hours later, Peter changes his tune and he denies that he ever knew Jesus. Not just once, but three times. How could this be, Peter? Peter, how could this be? You're the rock. You're the brave and bold one of all the disciples of Jesus. Peter, was it not you who Jesus called along with your brother Andrew to come and follow him? And you left everything to follow him? Peter, was it not you who trusted Jesus and got out of the boat and walked on the water when Jesus said, come? Peter, was it not you who confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Peter, was it not you whose faith was recognized by Christ, who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Peter, was it not you who said, though they all fall away because of you, Lord, I will never fall away? Look at verse 54 with me again. Here we find the reason for the sudden change in Peter's thinking, in his actions. The final six words in the sentence, Peter was following at a distance. Peter was following at a distance. How many professing Christians are there today who are following Jesus at a distance? How many are unaware of the danger of getting too far behind in their walk with the Lord? Notice the progression here of Peter. First, he starts following Jesus at a distance. And then, he denies that he ever knew him. The Greek word for deny means to reject. Peter utterly rejected Christ when he yielded to fear and he lied about not knowing Jesus. You see, when we start following Jesus at a distance, we're playing around with our salvation. Our lives become more vulnerable to Satan's attacks and temptations. Peter learned this. He learned a lesson from this because we find later on he writes to the church, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he can devour. And he's not stopped. He continues to seek those that he can devour. I remember my military training and how we were always told to watch out for the enemy. When we went on night patrols, we were told to stay close enough to not lose sight of the man in front of us. Because if we separated ourselves, got too far a distance, barely to see the man in front of us, it could be the enemy could sneak in and go right along with us, and we not even know it. Or if we got too far behind and we could not see the man in front of us, we would lose our way. We would be wandering around. We would be vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, captured and maybe even shot. You see, when we fail to stay close to God, we become targets for Satan. We become vulnerable to his attacks. There's danger. There's danger in following Christ at a distance. Some believers follow Christ at a distance and they're on the overhead. They're church attendance. Now, I'm not talking about the occasional absence from church when we have a legitimate reason for not being here. There's always those legitimate reasons. I'm referring to professing Christians who deliberately stay away from church knowing that they ought to be here. Understand there's three types of Christians. There's the faithful attender, faithful in coming to church, their corporate worship to God, they're there. They desire to be in God's house and make it a priority to be there. They have the heart of King David of old who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then there are the once-in-a-whilers, also known as the up-and-downers or the in-outers. They come on any given Sunday and then they stay away for five or six. And last, there are those who we call almost nevers. Almost nevers. They're the ones who show up on Christmas and Easter. They're almost never in church. Just those 2 days out of the year. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 is a warning for the people of God not to abandon gathering together with other believers. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Simply put, if you're a professing Christian church attender, you need to have your priorities straight. There are numerous reasons and values relating to regular church attendance that really I don't have the time to get into in this sermon, but there is a very important word in Hebrews 10:25. It says together, not neglecting to meet together, to love and encourage and pray for one another. That's what we do when we meet together. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We're put together by Christ. When we come to Him in faith, we're put together in the church. He died for the church. That's how important it was for Him. And we're here to encourage one another, to build one another up. Listen, I'm the man I am today because of the things I learned from people in church. I remember the pastors that preached their hearts out as I listened to their message. It was for me. I listened to my Sunday school teachers and those youth workers who invested in me and gave of their time to help me to grow and to become the Christian I ought to be. And you know, there are people in this congregation that are ready and willing and more than able and capable of doing the same thing for us. Do not neglect meeting together. Why? Because it's here where God meets His people. It's here in His house. We're fed the Word of God here. That's what our spirits crave and long for, isn't it? The Word of God. It's here when we can worship together in spirit and in truth with others in Christ-like faith. God meets with His people, bringing the healing and the blessing we seek. Souls find rest and peace from the world out there. You know what I mean by out there. And if you go to work every day, out there. You young people, you go to school. You go to school and do your activities out there. We go shopping out there. We do our activities and community work out there. Out there in the world where we get bombarded with its evil and the temptations that are around. Out there where no relief for a weary soul can be found. Where can we go to refresh our spirits and find strength and sweet relief from being out there? We find it here in the house of the Lord. We find it in our church attendance by not neglecting to meet together in God's house. We ought to be glad when it comes to attending church, and we ought to say as David did, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I feel as the psalmist felt when he expressed these words in Psalms 27:4. You'll see it on the overhead. He said, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. My friend, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to follow the Lord at a distance in church attendance, not only for the reasons stated already, but because, let's look at the next slide, but because the day is drawing near. Do not forsake the assembling of thyself together, because the day is drawing near. The day you and I will stand before the great God of heaven, our Creator, and give an account for what we have done with His church, the body of Christ that He's placed us in. The day is drawing near. So it's dangerous to follow Christ at a distance in church attendance. Now, some believers follow Christ at a distance in their prayer time. What a tragedy. What a tragedy it is when we fail to talk to the Lord each day. You know, talking to the Lord should be as normal as you and I conversing with one another out in the lobby. That's how normal it should be. You know, if I don't talk to my family but one time a day, I wonder what they would think. Oh, they'd think something's wrong, and you know what? They would be right. Something would be wrong. I wonder what God thinks if one of His children speaks to Him only one time a day and never at all. Something is wrong when we fail to communicate with God. And people wonder, why does it seem like God's so far away? Why doesn't He answer my prayers? Listen, God is wanting to answer your prayers. He will answer prayer. He wants to hear you. He wants to answer the prayer of His people. And the psalmist says over in Psalms 145, it's on the overhead, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call Him, to all who call on Him in truth." And then 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." In simple terms, we must be faithful and we must be sincere in our walk with the Lord. And then Jeremiah 29, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, God knows our heart. He knows each individual heart here today who calls upon Him. And the truth is, we simply cannot fool God. He knows our heart. I think one of our problems is that we don't come to the Lord with all of our heart. You know, we come and we say a few mumbling words and we feel good that we've talked with the Lord. Or we go on and on and on in our prayers about something or nothing, and we feel that God is satisfied in our communication with Him. Jesus said in Matthew 6, He says, when you pray, He said, "Do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." When I'm talking to you about prayer this morning, I'm not talking about table grace. Though for many, that's about the extent of their prayers to God, asking God to bless the food. I'm talking about earnestly getting in touch with God. That type of praying. Humbling ourselves before our Heavenly Father, crying out as the psalmist who said, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer." Don't let the world rob you of your prayer time. Don't let the things that come in and want to take priority rob us from our prayer time. Don't follow the Lord at a distance in prayer. Cling close to Him. Close to Him. There's nothing in the world like it. Oh, how it gives us confidence and how it gives us strength to hear us when He hears us and loves us and wants to answer our prayers. Stay close to God, because it's dangerous to follow Christ at a distance in our prayer time. Some believers follow Christ at a distance in their Bible reading, in their Bible study. This that I hold in my hand is the Word of God. Every word from the beginning, in the beginning, starting in Genesis, to the last Amen in Revelation, and all in between, is the Word of God. Our Creator, He's placed them there for us to study. Over in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And in 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is the Word of God. But if we never pick it up and read it, oh my, how are we ever gonna get to know Him? How are we ever gonna learn how to live for Him, to understand Him, to love Him, to become His obedient child? God desires that His children know everything about Him, and He has put it in His Word. And there's even more that we'll never know about Him until we get to heaven. God desires that His children know everything about Him. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? I'm part of His family, and He's my Heavenly Father. I should get to know Him. I should try to get to know everything about Him that I can know. You see, He already knows me. He already knows you. He created us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And you know what the great thing is about that? He still loves us. He still loves us. But God wants us to know Him, so how do you get to know someone? Well, you spend time with them, don't you? Yeah, you talk to them. You listen to them. It takes time to really get to know someone. to learn about someone. You can't learn about someone overnight. Sometimes it takes years. My wife, Linda, come this June, about 2 weeks. We'll be married for 50 years. And we have spent over 50 years learning about each other. And if we spend another 50 years together, we would still be learning about each other. You see, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. He wants us to know everything about Himself that we can possibly know. Unfortunately, there's a problem for many today because they get their knowledge about God from Hollywood movies, from television, or some ego-driven television evangelist who would much rather tickle their ears and provide entertainment and take their money than to tell them the truth and the whole truth about God. Listen, the only true God, the God of the Bible, has given us His holy word as the only standard for our faith. It is the only basis for how we can know who He really is and how we should live our lives to experience Him and His promises. He is the author of it, and that's why it's more than just another book. It's His love letters to us. His love letters to us. The Bible teaches also that there's only one way to know God, and that is through Jesus. John 14 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in verse 9 it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You cannot come to understand the Father if you follow Him at a distance. Some believers follow Jesus at a distance in their witnessing. Now, this may be one of the biggest problems that the church in America faces today. It seems like we can't witness inside the church and we can't witness outside the church. We've lost our influence for Christ. And I believe it's due to those who are following Christ at a distance. And I believe it's the reason because of all those areas I've already mentioned and others that I don't have time to speak on. But I have mentioned church attendance, prayer time, Bible study. These things influence our Christian witness. On the slide, you'll see a portion of Scripture, Acts 11, 25 through 26. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Why were the disciples first called Christians there in Antioch? Why were they called Christians? It is because they acted like the one they were teaching about. They were acting like the one they were teaching about, Jesus. You see, the name Christian means Christ-likeness. Now, you can witness to your family and your neighbors and friends, and you can tell them about Jesus all you want, and that's good. But until these same people see that you're living what you're preaching, then you're wasting your time. Your influence is not going to be there. You'll see a portion of Scripture on the overhead taken from Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying here? Paul is saying proper Christian behavior is based on the fact that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And therefore, those who believe in Christ are to live, not just talk about, but to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives as they await His return. And let me add, the Holy Spirit is present in the Christian. The Holy Spirit is present in the Christian to give power to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. But we have to be willing to give Him control. So being a Christian witness involves your whole life, actions, character, not just your words. To be a witness for Christ means you're the salt of the earth. Next slide, salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth. What is salt? Well, salt adds flavor to food, doesn't it? Salt adds flavor to our lives. It's also a preservative. You see, live for God before people, and you will impart a positive flavor to any gathering of people, and you will be a preserving force against corruption. Look at the rest of that verse. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled under people's feet. You are the salt of the earth. You cannot be the salt of the earth when you're following Christ at a distance in your witnessing. Another slide, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Light pushes darkness back. Be a light. Let your light shine before men so they can see your good deeds. Your good works, your good deeds point to God. And your good deeds can cause others to praise your Heavenly Father. It's impossible to be flavorful salt or even allow our light to shine brightly for God if we're following Christ at a distance. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to make you more and more like Jesus. Your Christian witness is an important role in God's plan to bring people to Himself. I'm going to put a slide up on the board, and I'm going to ask you a question. And I'd like for you to respond by raising your hand when I mention the different type of influence that you received. How many of you came to Christ through the direct influence of one of these? A TV ministry, okay, about two, three. A radio program, a book, a pastor, all right, looks like about eight. How about a family member, a friend? Yeah, hands went up all over. Hands went up all over. You see, that's the importance of a Christian witness. That's important, of your Christian witness. You saw something in that person. They may have invited you to church, but hey, why should I go to church? I don't see any change in your life. I don't see you living for the Lord. See, we have an influence. But evidently they saw something in, or you saw something in their life. You were willing to do what they've asked you to do, or you were willing to listen because you saw something in their life that witnessed to the fact that they were living what they were telling you. So Christian witness is important. And we're running out of time. So let me close. Let me close the service this way. Before we go, I want to challenge my brothers and sisters who are following Christ at a distance. Run to Christ! Run to Christ! Don't stay where you are. Because there's a devil out there seeking whom he can devour. He's at your heels. He's ready to devour you. So run to Jesus, your provider, your comforter, your protector, your power. Run to Jesus. Don't stay behind. Run to Jesus. Would you stand with me? There's one other verse of Scripture in closing. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Listen, this is what we're doing right now. This is what we're getting ready to do right now. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize that this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." The test is not run at a distance. The test is right here, right now. Examine yourselves. Let's pray. Oh, great God of heaven and earth, Heavenly Father, we get so wrapped up in life, so many priorities to take care of. We sometimes push you to the back. As the song says, yes, Lord, we're prone to wander. Sometimes we do it without realizing that we wander. Been away from church, still feel like we're in good standing with the Lord. We never talk to you through prayer. We feel that just a few humbly words will do it. We never pick up our Bibles. We'd rather turn TV program on, maybe watch it. And our witness to you, Lord, is shot. God, help us. Help us, Lord. speak to our hearts this morning as we examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. Draw us to Thee. Save us from ourselves, that we may be the children of God You've called us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Examine yourselves. Bless you today. Have a good day.